This past week, I Googled what was being discovered about mental health issues during this COVID crisis. As you might expect, national mental health organizations are reporting a great increase in anxiety, depression, and suicidal thoughts during this stressful COVID period. And this increase is seen in all types of groups, but especially in young people. You know, there's financial pressure, there are complicated health difficulties, job-related stresses, companies and businesses are short of workers, in medical-related fields, the demands, they're just hyperinflated, as well as our economy now as far as the prices of things, hyperinflated. And here's a question to ask. Does the Church of Jesus Christ have any answers to the stresses that are part of everyday life in America and actually in the world today? Does the church have any answers? You know, there was a song written a number of years ago. Maybe you remember it. It was a song sung by Bobby McFerrin, and these were words were repeated over and over again. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. And the Jamaican accent, you know. And actually, I read about Bobby McFerrin got these words from an Indian mystic. I didn't write down his name, but he was given the name by his followers, Meher Baba, which means compassionate father. Meher Baba said he was God. And they had hundreds of thousands of followers in India, but some in America and Europe and Australia as well. He died in 1969, and he still has followers today. But he took a vow of silence. All the years of his life, the remaining, I don't know, 40-some years, he didn't speak. He just wrote on a tablet or he used sign type of language as well. But he was the one who came up with don't worry, be happy. And I suppose, you know, if we have an attitude of being happy rather than depressed or worried, it would help our mental disposition. But how helpful is that phrase to somebody who's really going under trials, who just lost a loved one? Don't worry, be happy. You know, I heard of a pastor once in Pennsylvania, I heard from Lehman Strauss. This pastor would go whenever they had sick people in the congregation. He always used to say, keep your chin up, keep your chin up. And that was irksome to them. That was irritating to them. And so throughout that small community, he got the name of Mr. Chin Up. You know, it was an empty void. You know, what good's that do? Keep your chin up in your struggles and trials. Well, does the Church of Jesus Christ have more to say to people than don't worry, be happy, or keep your chin up? You know, and I think we're going to see today as we look in our passage, Philippians, you can look at Philippians chapter 3 now, that the Paul says some words here that sound like don't worry, be happy, or keep your chin up. That's what it sounds like, but it's far different than that. You know, as you know, the Apostle Paul, this is the epistle of joy. And, you know, every time I'm going through a book of the Bible, I said, this now is my favorite book in the Bible. You know, every single one of them. But this is a great book. It's the epistle of joy. The Apostle Paul had joy even though he had no freedom. He was chained 24/7, 365, chained to a Roman soldier. He wasn't in prison. He was in a house that he had to pay for. And some people helped him pay for that, but he was chained, but he had great joy. You know, there are people in the United States today that are proclaiming and complaining of a loss of freedom today, right? Mandated vaccination. And so, I mean, in all spectrums of life, we got people who are complaining of a loss of freedom. Paul was chained. He didn't complain. He had joy. He rejoiced. Well, he had joy and he was rejoicing even though he had critics. Do you remember he said in the first chapter that there, because he was in this situation, the household of Caesar had the gospel preached to him, and many of the brothers in Christ were bold in preaching the gospel when he was incarcerated like that. But he had those who were preaching the gospel that were critics of his, and they preached out of envy and strife, and they really wanted his chains on his wrist to gall his wrist. That's what he said. Okay, we're going to maybe quote that passage later on this morning. But he had joy despite his critics. And he had joy despite the fact that he didn't know if capital punishment was around the corner. He didn't really know. could have been that his life was going to end. Do you usually see people have joy when they're facing death? Not too many, but the Apostle Paul had joy. And this is what we say. I'll tell you right in the beginning, what these verses tell us and what we have to message to say is, listen, you can be joyful when you're singing. You can be joyful in sorrow for the believer. This is so critical for us to understand. And we're going to look at our passage to see that when the Apostle Paul says these words, I'm telling you, it's very helpful for us. And this other words, we're just going to look at chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. There are two commands given. He says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. He says that. He talks about having joy or rejoicing about 18 times. 12 words are used for joy. For me to write the same thing to you, to say it again, is not tedious, but for your sake it is safe. Safe. Then he goes on, the next command, beware. He says beware three times. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. You go, what is he talking about? For we are the circumcision who worship God and the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. He has given us the difference between a true disciple of Christ and a false disciple of Christ, okay? And we're going to finish this message 2 weeks from today. Next week, you know, during this COVID period, Nancy and I are going out of town. We've got her, we've been praying for her niece's husband. And this past week, Wednesday, Randy, the police officer in his 50s, died from COVID. We're going to go up to visit with the family up there. I mean, we're dealing with serious stuff. You know, we usually have Rick and Linda. Now, Rick has had some health difficulties in adult Bible fellowship. He's been missing morning service. But usually, always, Diane is here. Diane is now in the hospital with COVID. Okay, so we don't know how serious her condition is, but it's striking all kinds of families all over the place, isn't it? And so, but he says, beware. I'm writing you these things again to you. I want you to beware. So we're going to look at those two commands this morning, and we'll finish it 2 weeks for today. We got a joint service at that time. Tata will be leading our worship with the three churches in here. So that's going to be a great time of worship as well. But now let's consider these two commands and find out how important they are for the Philippians to hear and how important for us to know and understand what he's saying here. And how these words, people in the world should also understand about these things. Okay, let's consider them, okay? First thing he says is rejoice in the Lord. Is there any difference in saying rejoice now? Just be happy, cheer up, don't worry, keep your chin up. Is there any difference? The key to this expression is rejoice in the Lord. That's the key. You know, when a person trusts in Jesus Christ, there's a tremendous thing that happens. They become one with Christ. The Holy Spirit takes that person who says, Lord, would you please forgive my sins based upon your work on the cross? I believe you died for me on the cross. I believe you were resurrected. I'm trusting you alone for my salvation. When they do that, the Holy Spirit baptizes them in the Holy Spirit. Baptize them. Now, we have water baptism. We're talking with some maybe about it being baptized in water in the future. That's just a physical expression of what's happened inside of us. Baptized by the Holy Spirit. We're one with Christ. We become children of the Heavenly Father, the Creator of the universe. We're His child. Oh, and we're going to recount some of what that means this morning. But when you know that you are in the Lord, just like the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts, and all of a sudden you love believers in particular, and you love God's word, and you love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, there's a love shed abroad in your hearts when you trust in Him, but there's also a joy as well. A joy that just wells up like an artesian well springing forth, even as we rejoice in the Lord and consider all that He is to us and all that we have in Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter if you've got COVID. It really doesn't matter. Remember Apostle Paul, when he was facing capital punishment, what did he say? I don't know which I'd rather have, to live or to die. Because if I live, I'll have more opportunity to ministry. But if I die, I'm with the Lord. Does it get any better with that? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Now, we are not talking about fairy tales. There's historical, everything that this Bible recorded was witnessed. Jesus Christ came out of the grave. Now, this gentleman, Meher Baba, the guy in India, died in 1969. He's still in his grave. There's only one who came forth. Saw by 500 people at one time, and they went to their deaths because they know he rose from the dead. We rely upon these evidences that are recorded in Scripture. When we can trust in these Scriptures. So it's different. You know, what is happiness? We stated this early in the book, but happiness comes from the word, it depends on the haps, happenstance. If the circumstances are right, you're happy. If the circumstances are not right, oh man, you can get down. And that describes our society today. Are you getting good returns from the stock market? Ah, yeah, that's great. If the stock market was way down, ooh, ouch, that's painful, right? Are you healthy? Oh, you just got news that you have stage 2 cancer. Oh, man. Time to go down in the dumps because of the circumstances in your life. Are you getting the opportunity, freedom to go to concerts and sporting events? Is your car running well? This morning we got in a van. 2019, that's a 2019 already, Chrysler Pacifica. Turn over the key and the battery's dead. That happened yesterday morning too. I got to get a new battery for this vehicle. Well, it's maybe 3 years old, that battery. Batteries wear out, right? But listen, if your car's wrong, you're happy. If you're not, you're down in the dumps. Oh, man. And you're grumbling and complaining. Are your children doing well in school? Are you yourselves doing well? Are you enjoying your work? Are your neighbors and co-workers showing you respect? I mean, there are so many things, happenings, that either bring you up or bring you down. That's what the definition of happiness is. And that is why we're seeing depression and anxiety in this world today during this COVID-19 period of time. I was telling Scott, I went through Glen Ellen yesterday. We brought a young Afghanistan man to get a driver's test today. He came out of Afghanistan. Nancy and I was listening to a story. He just got out. All his family, his brothers and sisters are back there. And he wants to work hard so he can try to get them to come over too. They don't have any food over in Afghanistan. Just hearing what their plight is ought to make you appreciative. But we built a friendship with him. But after we dropped him off, I had to get some gas. I went to the first station, Casey's over there in Glen Ellen. Every single pump was closed. They were out of gas. So, wow, that's different. Went down and I got into, you know, a little further and I got gas. My credit card worked. I got gas. I went in the store and I wanted to get something to munch on. And this line formed behind me and the guy behind me says, were you able to get gas here? And I said, yeah, I got gas. He said, my credit card doesn't work. He said, this is the fourth station that I've been to. In Wheaton, they're all out of gas. All out of gas. How often does that happen in our society? What we're seeing is a lack of supplies right now in our society, don't we? There's a lot of strange stuff going on, and it's causing anxiety. We don't know what are the whole ramifications of this inflation going up. But may I tell you, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you can rejoice in the Lord. You can rejoice in the Lord. And you can have a bubbling joy coming out of your heart that is absolutely supernatural. Joy, happiness is natural. Or unhappiness is natural. But joy is supernatural. How wonderful it is. Well, let's talk about rejoice in the Lord now. Joy is not a human emotion. It's a supernatural emotion. And it comes from the Holy Spirit who floods our heart. When a person trusts in Jesus Christ, they enter in a union with him through the Holy Spirit, okay? Now listen to some of the things that are true of us in the Lord. God, the creator of the universe, is our Father. Is that good? Jesus is our Lord and Savior and Master. He is the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus said he would never leave them or forsake them. He would never leave us or forsake us. Never! He's with us at all times. Is that something to praise him about and rejoice in? He's with us at all time. They have complete forgiveness of their sins. We don't have to be guilty. We confess our sins. It says he's faithful and just, forgive us our sins, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Heaven is your home. The Lord Jesus is preparing a place for us in which we will live one day with the Savior. When we die, we'll be present with the Lord, absent from the body, but present in the Lord. And this is something to realize. Even as we sang this morning, every circumstance that comes in our life is only allowed by the Father. And why does He allow us to go through some trying times where we don't have the freedoms? How about, we got freedom in this country. You know, when I was in Seattle, we got out, we had a drawbridge growing up. We got out and said, let's get a bite to eat. It was in Fremont, in the place called Fremont, I think it was in Seattle. And here's this great big 9-foot-tall statue. You know who the statue it was of? It was of Lenin. Maybe I mentioned that last week, of Lenin. I said, in the United States? But, you know, there are a lot of people that are becoming socialistic in our country. Talked to Iwana and her mom last night. Can you see, because they were under communism in Romania, can you see it happening in the United States? Oh, yes, we see it happening. Freedoms could be in jeopardy in our future, the home of the free and the brave, right? And so, but listen, there are Christians in countries that don't have freedom, and guess what? They're still rejoicing in the Lord. Because you've got freedom in your heart. Nobody can take that away from you. Your relationship with God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that comes in our life, God only allows, and why? So He can change us to become more like Jesus Christ. And the more pressure we under, we're saying it before, the more persecution and pressure we're under, the joy gets greater and greater and greater. So this is just something we can rejoice. And this is what the Apostle Paul wants these Philippian believers to really major on, focus on. They've got some divisions in the church. He says it a number of times, rejoice in the Lord. Let your focus be on the cross, not those shadowy things that are taking place in your life. God is good. The Father loves us, and the Bible says He loves us. Jesus said, even as He loved His own Son. I don't understand that. I really don't understand that. But listen, we can accept that by faith. I don't deserve to be loved by God the Father like that. No way. I mean, I've blown it so many times and done so many things that are wrong. But He loves us, even as He loves His Son. The Lord's given us a high calling and purpose in life. You know, we've got a mission, goals in life, and He's given us that purpose in life. What a great thing that is. And all the circumstances of life are against us. It does not really matter. Because one day, because we have the Lord Jesus, we're part of His family. You could have all kinds of people against us, like the Apostle Paul had, like these Philippians were dealing with hatred of their countrymen. That's not fun, to have people dislike you and even persecute you. But listen, here's the thing. There's only one person in this entire world that you need, right? Only one person. It's not even your wife. It's not even your best friend. The one person you need is Jesus Christ. If you have Jesus Christ in your life, it doesn't matter how many people are opposing you or hate you. I'm telling you, if we rely upon that, there's nothing that can disturb our joy. How great is this? The Apostle Paul wants to drill this home, people. Philippians, rejoice in the Lord. We're given the command to rejoice, and all the circums in the world cannot separate us from His love. So he says, rejoice in the Lord. God never fails. He's victorious. But you know what? He says, look at the words he says, for me to write these same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. He wants to repeat them. He's not going to be lazy. He's not going to be sluggish in repeating them. But notice what else he says here now. Beware, though. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. You know what he's saying? There are people that can rob you of your joy. They can take your joy from you. And what are they? They're religious people. Religious people. Religionists. So what are you talking about? Well, you see, when the Apostle Paul preached the gospel, he preached it purely. He preached it just as it is. There's only one thing by which a man is saved and made right with God, and that's by the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, by his payment for our sins, and by his being buried, and then he rose again from the dead. And everybody who believes in him will have eternal life, who puts their trust in him. But as Apostle Paul preached this free grace wherever he went, and Gentiles were coming to Christ, the Holy Spirit was falling on them. They were speaking in tongues even, you know, I mean, and the Holy Spirit, they're prophesying. The Holy Spirit just spoke out of them. And then came these men behind him who were called Judaizers. Now, what was a Judaizer? A Judaizer was a Jewish man. And these Jewish men oftentimes believed in Jesus Christ. That is, they believed he was in his teachings, many things about him. And they said, we're disciples of Jesus. But we want to let you know now that you're a disciple of Jesus, you have to be circumcised. And once you're circumcised, you come through the Jewish religion, you're circumcised, and now you obey the law of Moses. And here they were sincere. They were supposed to be disciples of Christ. They were the counterfeits. They were counterfeits. And he wants them to know who are the counterfeits. Keep your eyes open. Look and watch. Because not everybody who calls upon Jesus Christ, who said they're a follower of Jesus Christ, are really, do they have it in the inside? These guys were following things on the outside. They majored in the rituals that you've got to do. You've got to be circumcised. You've got to obey the laws now. And you know what they do? Steal joy away. Steal joy. Because, listen, a man is made, now let me tell you, a man is made perfect on the inside. That doesn't mean we still got sin because we got the old sin nature as well. And I'm going to be so glad when I die because that old sin nature that is angry, that it's impatient, that it's lustful, and all these other things that dwell in this body, it's going to be put to death finally. He raises his ugly head and you have to put him on the cross regularly. They said, I'm not following that advice. I'm not following those feelings. I'm not following those thoughts. Lord, I want to follow you. You know, that's what we do. We fight with the battle all day, one day. But that new man inside of us is perfect. It's Jesus himself who lives in us. So, but these Judaizers come and beware of them. Now, listen to the descriptions. And by the way, it was so serious for the Apostle Paul. He wanted them to know, I want you to be safe. Rejoice in the Lord. Beware of these counterfeiters. And this is what he told the Ephesian elders in the 20th chapter. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. Watch therefore, and remember that for the 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. You see, Satan is the counterfeiter of all counterfeiter. He disguises and his ministers. They look like ministers of righteousness, but they are not. They're wolves in sheep clothing. We've got to watch out for them. That's what he's telling. So he uses this word beware three times, and he gives the description of these. The first one he says, beware of the dogs. Dogs. Let me tell you, when the Apostle Paul, first chapter, remember he says, I'm in chain, but it's things that further for the gospel. Now, some are preaching the gospel out of envy and strife, others out of goodwill. But you know what he said? I rejoice whether out of envy or strife, out of goodwill. He was really conciliatory. He was rejoicing that they were preaching, even though they were against him as believers. But when he talks about these people, he does not mince any words. These false teachers that are coming, these counterfeits, they're dogs. They're dogs. Now, you and I who live in our society today, you know, dogs are pets. Dogs are part of the family. I tell you, Nancy has taken two of our dogs and had them put to sleep. I'm so glad I didn't have to go. She went, and she comes home crying. You know, these dogs become part of your family, right? But back in this day, there were the small dogs that were pets, but there were these larger dogs that roamed in packs. That's right. And they were scavengers. They were the type of dogs, do you remember back in the Old Testament when Jehu came and he was putting to death Ahab's sons and everything, and he came to Jezebel. Jezebel was on a, a, and she put on the makeup and everything, and there she was. And Jehu says, "Who's on my side? If you're on my side, throw her down." They threw her off of that high place, Jezebel, that wicked woman, which Lauren was talking about today. And you know what happened? Jehu went to get a bite to eat after this. When he came out, all the dogs had eaten her completely. There wasn't anything left. Dogs were scavengers. They would get in the garbage on the street. They would nip at you. They were rabid. They would even attack people who were walking by. You had to be careful of these dogs that roamed at that time. So when the Jews, you know what the Jews called the Gentiles? Dogs. Very derogatory. And Paul, so Paul is switching the tables here. He's calling these religious Jews now, who said that you had to be circumcised, he's calling them dogs. Listen, they feed on garbage. They don't believe the word of God and the message that has come through Christ Jesus. They don't believe the apostolic message. They feed on garbage. And they will feast on you. They will bite you. And they're rabid oftentimes, cause disease. You've got to be aware of these people. And don't give them an inch. Listen, the book of Romans and the book of Galatians, he wrote them to tell the difference. If it be of works, it is no longer of grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. And if it be of grace, then it is no longer work. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. You see, you cannot separate you cannot combine them. It's like putting arsenic in a glass of water. And it steals the joy. Now, I don't know about you. I guess I do know about you. You're probably the same way I am. You know, probably 5 days a week we're involved with trying to do things for the Lord, whether that's working on music, preaching. Sometimes it takes me so long in these messages, looking and looking and looking and looking. But listen, it gets tiring at times, but you know what? I enjoy doing it. And the reason you do it is because you do it out of gratitude. What can I give you, Lord, for saving my soul? What can I possibly do in return? That's the attitude of somebody who has the Holy Spirit inside of them, right? You don't do it because you're working your way to heaven. These Judaizers believed that if they got these people to submit to circumcision, they'd become sons of Abraham, then they had it locked in place, they would be in God's kingdom one day. It's not what you do outwardly. If you rely on baptism, that's just like circumcision. If you rely upon your going to church, that's just like circumcision. It doesn't count for anything. You do it out of obedience to the Lord, out of gratitude, that's all. It doesn't make you any more holy. When you trust in Jesus Christ, you get the Holy Spirit, okay? Well, he calls them dogs. They would nip at the heels, and surely they followed Paul and nipped at him. They were vicious inwardly, these Pharisees. And the book of Isaiah describes some of these religious leaders at that time. Isaiah said, "His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yes, they are greedy dogs which never have enough. And they are shepherds who cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his own gain, for his own territory." That's what it is like for religious people. But when you have the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a contentment that comes with him, his presence in you. Well, he calls them dogs, and then he calls them evil workers. One of the reasons why he calls them evil workers, beware of the evil workers, because they're big on works. They're big on things that you need to do. But do you remember what Isaiah also said? All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. They're evil works. If you think that you can gain God's favor by those works, they're evil works. God will not receive you based upon the work that you do. They're imperfect. What do you want to rely on? Do you want to rely on imperfect works or the perfect works before God? I was talking to someone this week, and I tried to emphasize that. But, you know, if you have a beautiful painting of Michelangelo or Leonardo da Vinci or Raphael, and they give you a paintbrush, do you think you can actually improve on that, their painting? Huh? Can you improve anyway on the work of Jesus Christ on the cross? There's nothing we can do to improve upon it. Nothing. So, Here's what Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatians. I marvel that you, because they believed, these Judaizers who came to them, that they had to be circumcised. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. In other words, let him go to hell. Now, as we say before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you other than what we have preached, let him be accursed. Let him go to hell. I mean, that's how strong these words are. And he had to confront Peter one time, because Peter was fudging on this. And this is what he told Peter. He said, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is Christ therefore the minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I myself make myself a transgressor. For I through the law died to the law that I might live to God. And this is what his summation says. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's love. That's love. And that's what will produce the joy in your life. But there are robbers. There are robbers that teach wrongly. And then he calls them one other thing. He says, beware of the mutilation. In the King James Bible, it's concision. It's a play on the word circumcision, because they were saying you had to be circumcised. That is peri, around, tome, cut around. It's for men. It was the removal of the foreskin. It was a simple surgery, but that's what God gave to Abraham. We'll look at that maybe in 2 weeks a little bit about circumcision, what this value is, why it was given. But Apostle Paul calls these Judaizers kato tome. They're just mutilators. They just cut. They don't even go in a circle. They just cut. It reminds me of when Elijah fought the prophets of Baal. And, you know, he was supposed to be the storm god, the one who would bring lightning. And they had to build an altar. And Elijah's making fun of these 400 prophets of Baal. And they're trying to make Baal answer them from heaven. And you know what they started doing? They started cutting themselves to get Baal to answer them. Cut them so we can get God to answer, their God to answer. And what does Elijah do? He says, well, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to pour water on it. I'm going to pour more water on it. The ocean was right nearby. They had a drought, but the salt water was there. They brought all these buckets, put it on there. And time of sacrifice, Elijah looks up and he says, Lord, you answer. Fire came down, you know, completely consumed the sacrifice and licked up the water. It's the power of God that saves a person, right? It's God's work that saves a person. And that's what we rely upon. We don't rely upon what these religionists, they're called the mutilization, because they'll steal your joy. And let me just conclude with a saying, because we're going to have communion now and we're just going to praise God for what remember what Christ did for us. But F.B. Meyer, a teacher, said this, the joy of the Lord arises from leaving all our burdens at his feet, from believing that he has forgiven the past as absolutely as the tide obliterates children's writing in the sand. Don't you like that? Amen. Your sins that you did, when you confess them, it's like writing in the sand where the tide comes and just washes out. You can't see them anymore. That nothing can come which he does not appoint or permit. This is where the joy of the Lord comes from, that he is doing all things as wisely, as kindly as possible, that in him we have been lifted out of the realm of sin, sorrow, and death into the realm of divine light and love, that we have already commenced the eternal life right now, and that before us forever there is a fellowship with him so rapturous and exalting that human language can only describe it as unspeakable. Oh, do we have it good or what? We have it good. Those of us who depend on Jesus Christ, we have it so good. Let's sing about that, and let's celebrate it even with the Lord's Supper now. Singers, come forth one more time, okay? And I'll just pray even while you're coming forth.
Our Heavenly Father, Lord, help us to rejoice in you at all times, realizing all the things that you've done for us and that we're your children. And even the problems that come into our life, you allow them, but you're always in control. And so we just want to praise you and thank you. You are one great God. For anybody here who's never trusted, put their entire trust in Jesus Christ, pray that they do it even today. It's a perfect work they trust in. In his name we pray. Amen.